forever live my It's all my need. Sing it again now. And I shall forever lift my eyes to heaven. Oh, to view the cross, to view the cross, where Jesus died for me. And how marvelous the grace that God my calling stole. He loves beyond all my faults, saw my needs, and my Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. And my my tower of refuge and strength. Let's stand and sing that. Let every breath, all that I am, may it never cease to worship you. Oh, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your day. Oh, and I sing for joy and forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand, and nothing compares to the telling that tonight. All of my days, Lord, I want to praise the wonders of your mind. Oh, yes, Lord, you're my comfort, my shelter, my oh, and let every breath, let all that I am, never cease to worship you. Oh, shout to the Lord, power and down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy and forever I'll love you. Oh yes, I'll stand in that. We'll sing that chorus again. And shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. And power and majesty, mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name.
remember to pray for Brother Ron Burroughs and his family. Mother passed away yesterday unexpectedly. Just pray that the Lord will give him comfort this time. Also, we want to remember to pray for Sister Butts as she recovers from her fall. Also, her roommate Shirley Carter has asked for our prayer. She's in a lot of pain, so remember her as well. And Brother Mike Ware is fighting a respiratory infection that he can't seem to get over. Also, Justin Ware has strep throat. We want to remember them. Also, Isabel and Ian Fields are both sick with a fever. Amen. A lot of needs. And how many believes God can comfort every one of them? Amen. Brother Kenneth found his daughter Sarah lying in his doorway when he got home from work today. He took her to the Minden ER. They're doing tests on her. He asked for prayer for her, for salvation and healing. Amen. How many has a need? Just want to lift it before the Lord today. Amen. He's mindful of every one of them. Amen. I'm just happy to be here tonight. Amen. Ask Brother David Dexter to come open the service for us in a word of prayer. As he comes, I just wanted to share a little testimony with you that nobody but my wife knows about. I've been having some problems with my hearing before youth camp, and it was very similar to what Brother Matt Watkins was talking about. It just felt like there was cotton in my ear, and I went through the prayer line at camp and felt no different afterwards, but the next morning I got up and it was completely gone. Amen. I'm just thankful for that. Amen. Amen. How many's been healed? How many's been touched? And how many believes that he can do that for every one of these needs tonight? Amen. Whatever your need is, he's here to be a comforter. He's here to be a heavy load bearer. He's here to bring salvation and healing. Let's just go to him in prayer together. Amen.
Let's all just bow our heads. Lord God, it's such a privilege to come today, Lord. To come and assemble with believers. Lord, knowing that when we assemble together, Lord, it's not just assembling with a congregation of people, Lord, but it's your very life lived throughout the different people here, Lord, that's just coming together, Lord. Our licks of fire just assembling together, Lord. God, we're here for victory, Lord. Here to conquer the enemy, Lord. Here to drive back, Father, the doubts that would come in and hinder, Father, your healing and your deliverance, Father. Lord, whatever the need would be tonight, Lord, we know you're more than able, Father. Lord, we heard many needs tonight, Lord. Many serious needs, Lord. Needs of salvation, needs of healing, Father God. But Lord, we know that no matter how many needs that we would read over the pulpit, Lord, whether it's one or whether we, as tonight, as we would just read one after another, Lord. You're more than able, Father. You're more than able to meet every single one of them, Lord. And we just ask, Father, that you go to each person now, Father. Lord, we know that you already are working all things together for our good, Lord. We just ask, Father, the roommate, Lord, that you just come to her, Father, that you take away the pain, Lord. God, you know what pain is. Lord, you know what just severe pain would be, Lord. You know what all the different needs that we'd have in our bodies would be, Lord. Lord, you just know each one, Lord. God, we just ask, Lord, that you just come tonight, Lord. Lord, I might stumble over words as I would pray, Lord, but we know, Father, that your Spirit, Lord, that your Spirit's more than able, Lord, to come in the service, to come through the minister, Father, to speak with clarity, Lord, to speak, Father, words that we couldn't come down and just write we couldn't just write these notes out, Lord, and deliver them to the people, Father. It would take you, Lord, to make a sermon that would really touch a heart, Lord, for eternal value, Lord. God, it would take you, Lord, take your Holy Spirit, Lord, to really come into our service, Lord, into our midst and do something, Lord, that isn't just temporal, Lord. Do something that isn't just an uplifting service, Father. Lord, we believe that you're here. We believe, Father, that you're here, Father, for healing, Lord, but you're here for more than that, Lord. Lord, we appreciate the healing, Lord, but we know, Lord, there's those that went to youth camp. They had a experience, Father. They sensed your presence. They saw that you're still alive, Lord. But God, we don't want to just leave you at youth camp, Father. We want you to come present tonight, Lord. We want you to come down in this service, Father God. We want you to come down in this time, Father. Lord, we just ask that you just come by our way, Lord, that you just meet our needs, Father. God, I just think of a video I saw earlier today, Lord. All these people rushing, mobbing to get some designer's clothing that we had at Target, Lord, and all those people just so excited to buy something, so excited to spend all their money on something that they're just going to so quickly throw away and discard. God, we just ask that you would just come tonight, Lord. Lord, that you just, inside someone's heart, just create an excitement for your word, Lord. Inside someone's heart, Father, that you just stir it up, Father. Lord, that they could just be as excited for you, Lord, as a person would be about clothing, Lord, or about anything in life, Father. But even more excited, Father, because you're more than life. God, you're more than our daily bread, Father. Lord, we just ask that you'd be with the ones that have lost loved ones, Lord. We're thinking of the Applegate family, Lord, the different ones up in Pawnee, Oklahoma, Lord. God, we thank you that a young man would die, Father, knowing that he's a Christian, Father. We thank you, Lord, knowing that he's in a better place tonight, Father. God, we just ask that you'd be with the Martins and with the Applegates and with all the different ones in that church, Father, that you just comfort each one of them, Lord, that you just come as only you can do, Father, only you can mend those situations, only you can bring answers, Father. Lord, and when we don't see an answer, we can look back to Job and see, Father, no matter the trials in life that we go through, Lord, that you are always there, Lord, you're always in control. And no matter what we think that we would go through, that would just be such a terrible tragedy in our life, Father, you're working it for our good. God, we think of those that aren't here tonight, those that are away from you, Father. God, would you just come to them, Lord? Lord, in whatever way is necessary, Father, would you just come to their life, Father? Just continue to woo, Father. Just continue to press, Father. Continue to bother them, Lord, until they just can't handle it anymore. Continue to just make them aware, Father, of you, aware of God, aware that there's more to life than just living for themselves, Father, more to life than just living for the moment, Father, but there's eternal. Lord, there's Christ. Christ is calling out to their lives, Father. We just intercede for them, Lord. Intercede for those in the service that don't know you, those in the service that aren't where they should be, Father. And God, if there's something I haven't mentioned that is needful, Father, if there's a request that was read, God, we just know you understand that you're more than able to meet every need, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your healing touch, Father. Thank you, Father, that when the doctor can't give the right remedy, Lord, that you come down and you completely heal, Father. You don't do a halfway job. Lord, thank you for your promises, Lord. Thank you for your promises in your word, Lord, that you heal all our diseases, Lord. Lord, we claim that, Father. We claim also the promise, Lord, that the offspring of those in the congregation would be there, Lord. Father, we ask that you just be with the ministers as they're preparing for you for the family camp. Father, we know it's still weeks away, Father. But Lord, we were just so touched by the youth camp, Lord. We're expecting each service leading up to the family camp, Lord, just move, Father. God, we ask that you just be with your minister tonight. Be with the offering, Lord, with the tithes. Use them, Father. Use all the different brothers and sisters that'll be there this Saturday, Lord. Just be with those who can't make it, Father. Just put a burden in each heart here in the church to just do more. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Upon life's boundless ocean, where mighty billows rise, I fix my hope in Jesus. Amen. How many can say that tonight? Amen. Upon life's boundless ocean, where mighty billows roll, I fix my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. Amen. The brothers can take up the offering. I rest upon His mercy and trust Him more. I've anchored in Jesus, storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored. I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus. He hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice hath filled the waters and bid their troubles cease. My pilot and deliverer. My all.
Esther you would, Esther, chapter 4, I believe. While we're turning there, I want to just announce a few things. We have Brother Ron Burroughs' mother that passed away, Dorothy Cabra. She's at the Boone's Funeral Home in Airline Drive. The viewing will be this evening from 5 to 7 and also tomorrow from 4 to 7. And the funeral will be at Red River Baptist Church Friday at 11 o'clock. I want to remember him in our prayers and their family. Also want to remember the Applegate family. As you may have already know, their son was tragically killed, Adam Applegate, there, a young man that's been here in our church. He was just there at the youth meeting. Actually, him and Brother Joshua Martin had drove some young people down to the meeting. And so I don't know the details as far as what had happened. I know he crossed the line and had a head-on collision. They found him dead there on the scene. But they will have the visitation for him on Friday night at 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock in Pawnee. And the funeral will be Saturday at 1 o'clock, so I want to remember those needs. And let's just have a moment to think about these lives, if we would, and just bow our heads and just talk to the Lord about these families and their sorrow this evening. Amen. Father God, we come to you today, Lord, as children of yours. And Lord, how our hearts have been broken, Lord, as we have heard the news, Lord, of the passing of a young man seemingly snatched from life very early, Lord, and tragically. But Lord, we rest upon a promise that you have it all in control. And Lord, we ask, Father God, that you would just be with the family this evening, Lord, and the coming days as they lay this body to rest, Lord. God, may you give them strength, we pray, Father. Lord, strengthen the mom and the dad, how their heart must just be broken, Lord. And Lord, just don't know what to do, where to turn. But God, may they just so turn to you once again, Father, and you be their strength in this time of need. Ask, Lord, for Brother Ron and his family, Lord, as he lost his mother, Father. You'd comfort him, Lord, in the situation there, Lord, and the family, Lord, we pray. We commit these lives into your hands, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for the impact they've had, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Let's look in our Bibles to Esther chapter 4. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again. Amen. I tell you, it seemed like, you know, as a Christian, it's just what you do. You go to church. And so it seemed like Sundays and Wednesdays are rolling around faster and faster and faster. But it's a wonderful thing. Amen. If we can get past Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and those days sometimes not seemingly so good. Maybe, wonder how many this week has had a rough week already. Amen. We all have had issues and things we've had to deal with. And it's wonderful just to come for a moment and lay aside those things. Amen. And just hear what God has for us this evening. So we're going to look at Esther chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, then Mordecai commanded to Esther, to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, Then shall there be enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whither thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther a golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said to the king unto her, What will thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given thee to half of the kingdom. Amen. And also in Luke chapter 16 and verse 16, it says, The law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Amen. We'll let you be seated this evening. I'd like to just speak on a thought here on what is thy request, and it shall be given thee. We find here at a time in Esther's life that she finds herself in a time of desperation. It's a time that is either life or death. It's either now or never. It's either live or die. It's a situation that she finds herself in, and Mordecai is pressing her to go into the king and to speak to him about the needs of her people. And he is telling her, if you don't do this, then God will raise up someone who will. And our deliverance will come from another house, and you're going to die anyway. Either way, you're going to die. You're either going to die by the hand of Haman, or you're going to die because God's going to raise someone up and your house will be destroyed. And so she finds herself in a time of desperation, in a time of great need, in a time that her family needs her, in a time that maybe she don't know what to do or exactly what to do. And she turns to the Lord during this time. And she starts preparing herself to go to the king. And we see here that it's every man is pressed into this kingdom. The kingdom of God, as we read the scripture in Luke, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. It's not just simply we walk into it easily or but we've got to be pressed into it. See, when we seek him with all of our heart, then he shall be found. Amen. It's not a half-hearted attempt. It's not maybe I will, maybe I won't. It's with everything that we have that we give to God. But, you know, usually it takes a state of emergency to throw us into desperation. As long as things are okay and as long as things are fine and as long as we're having a good time, everything's lovely and everything's wonderful, there's no need to be in a time of desperation or in a time of great tumult or anything like that or do anything radical or do anything out of the ordinary as long as everything's normal. But listen, the time that we're living in is not a normal time. It's a time like it's never been before. It's the end time. I was speaking to my wife and we was talking about these things today, even if before I came to church. And she said, you know, the things that we're going through, the pressures of the age, I just telling her, it seemed like this week we're just so busy and it's just so many things from every kind of angle coming at you. And you just wonder sometimes how much you can handle or how much you can take. And she said, you know, it's just the signs of the time. It's the end time. And I said, well, thank God it's the end time. I'm glad it's the end time. I'd hate to be going through what I'm going through, not knowing or not believing it's the end time. Amen. I'm glad that this is where we're at. And where there is another, as we know, the kingdom of God is at hand. And we know that Satan is pressing into this world and God is pressing into this world. And God is coming for a people and Satan is coming for a people. And it's a time of desperation. It's a time that we can't sit back and lollygag anymore. It's a time that we can't play church. It's a time that we can't play, have a good time of games and frolicking. And all these good things, that's not the time that we're in. This is a time of desperation. This is a time to get in with God or get out. One or the other. Amen. We see sometimes, it takes emergencies. You know, as long as things are going okay, we're all right. But many times, maybe we hadn't had our prayer life right and things hasn't been maybe exactly right, but you let something happen, who do we go to? We go straight to God. And we begin to cry out to Him, begin to ask Him to move, and begin to ask Him to do things for us. Why? We are in desperation for God to move. And so, you know, many times it's in time of death. You know, you hear of people in the time of dying that things they had kept secret or they hadn't made right their whole life. They wait to that last moment when they know they're going and they begin to cry out and they begin to say, well, I've done this wrong and I've done that wrong. What is it? It's a time of desperation. It's a no going back time. It's a time that either right now I better make these things right or they'll haunt me forever. Amen. And we see this as they go into that moment. And, you know, it ought to be done many years before. You know, if you got something wrong in your life, you ought to just make it right. If you've done something wrong to somebody, you ought not wait to your deathbed to make it right. You ought to be right now. Say, God, if there be anything in my life, let me just say, God, I'm sorry, and make things right. But we see here, we see emergency causes desperation. And we ought to be desperate without an emergency. But many times, that's what causes desperation. We can look in the Bible and we can see Esther in her time of desperation. She was at death's door. Amen. If she didn't get up, if she didn't move, if she didn't go into the king's chamber, she was going to die. Either Haman was going to destroy her, or God was going to raise somebody up and her family would be cut off and she would die. Amen. This is where she was at, and it caused desperation to come in her life. Amen. And we see the Passover was taken in a time of emergency. It was a time of desperation. You know, the scripture, God told them to eat the Passover with their shoes on their feet, with their loins girded up, with a staff in their hand, eating it in desperation. Here they had seen the great hand of God. They had seen they had seen all the plagues that had failed. They had seen all the things that had happened in it. And it caused them to get into desperation. We have to get out of here. Amen. There was something, a cry within them began to cry out, Lord, I don't want to stay here any longer. And they had seen this, and they'd taken that Passover in desperation, for they knew the time of God was fixing to strike with judgment. It was a shaking time. It was a time where every man examined himself, because the word of the prophet had not failed one time. Moses said, let there be, and it happened. He said, let there be flies, and they came. Let there be frogs, and there they were. Let there be bulls, and there they were. The prophet's word had not failed one time. Amen. Can we say that this evening today? That we also have a word and a prophet to our generation, that the prophecies have not failed one time. Amen. It was a shaking time. The prophet announced that God would only pass over those who had the token on their door. It caused desperation. Could you imagine the children, as they saw those big black wings of the death angel begin to drop down, and the smoke begin to fill the city, and screams come up from this house over there, little Johnny's house over there, this one over there, and they begin to have this, Lord, Daddy, did you do what God said? Did you apply the token? Did you do everything that the prophet spoke? Son, look at the doorpost. Look at the lintel. Look at that blood. It's according to His word. Well, remember, I'm the oldest, Daddy. Are you positive? I am positive. That's according to what the prophet has spoken. He has the word of the Lord. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Take a lamb for the house. And I've brought all you children in. You're my eldest. Yes, son. You're my oldest. You're my firstborn. But that's the one that should die. But out there was a little lamb that took your place. And I put the blood over the doorpost. And now we can eat in here. And we can be safe from all harm. Amen. Son, death's fixing to strike. Hear the cries begin to come up from this house and from that house and from over here. What desperation began to set in. It's the time we're living in. You see this family falling away. You see the death angel that went into that home and took that child out. Are we here on a Wednesday night, or are we somewhere else tonight? Amen. We see this one happen over there. And we see that one over there fall away. We see the death angel that went into a home because the daddy didn't apply the blood. And we see children that are taken away. We see all these things happen. Why? It ought to cause us to be desperate. Lord, have I made my house right? It ought to cause a desperation to go before the throne and say, God, what is wrong? Is there anything in my house wrong? Let me get rid of it. Listen, the Lord dealt with me just a few moments, just on these few things right here. This wasn't in my notes till just about 5 seconds ago before I walked out. But there's a message that is coming this day by a prophet vindicated. And it ought to cause us to be in desperation to see the word of the prophet be fulfilled in our lives. Amen. To see God come into my home. To see God come into my life. To see God change me. Amen. I don't just come to church to see God change somebody else or God move on that person or that pew. I say, God, come to my place. Come where I am, Lord. Speak to my heart. There may be men and women sitting here tonight that death lays right before you. I thought about this young man that just this week, just yesterday, we got the news. Listen, he was a full body of health, 19-year-old boy. Amen. Just right there on the front row, right there, I believe, on the left side as the ministry was going forth there at youth camp, responding to the word, on his feet, jumping and shouting, praising God, a good, fine young man. And not one of us would thought he'd be gone today. Listen, time isn't promised to anybody. Scripture says our life is but a vapor. I told my wife, I said, you know, things like this happen. You begin to reevaluate things in your life and you realize, you know, stuff ain't important. Some stuff just ain't important no more. Amen. You know, listen, when you find yourself, you know, as long as things are going okay and everything's fine, we get involved in this and we get involved in that over there and we get in that over there. But let something happen. Listen, we realize all of that is not important. And we realize, listen, what our family and the things God has given us as our inheritance, that is what is important. Some people may have death laying right before you. You must be at the moment, I must have it tonight. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need to be where I must have it tonight. Amen. Amen. If you need a renewing in the Spirit, I must have it tonight. Yes. Amen. Amen. If your joy is gone, I must have it tonight. Yes. Amen. I get it now or I'm finished. Tomorrow's too late. I must have it now. When you pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the token, you don't say, well, now I'll go up and try. You know, Lord, I'm just a little tired. Oh, mercy, stay in your seat. I'm quoting the prophet, stay in your seat. Don't even make an attempt. If you come and say, well, I'll pass through the prayer line, put a little oil on my head and see if it does me any good, you might as well sit where you're at. Until you get to that place, until the whole church gets to a place that is between life and death. You've got to have it now or perish. Then God will move on the scene. Listen, we need some fathers that say, I've got to have it now. We need mothers that will say, I have to have it now. Amen. Not only for my salvation, but for the salvation of my children. Amen. God will move on the scene. It takes desperation to move God on the scene. But many times the reason why we're not desperate is because we don't realize it is God. Well, it's just a Wednesday night service, or it's just a Sunday morning. You know, we do this twice a week. That's what I do. No, it's more than what I do. It's who I am. Amen. Amen. We done talked about that. This message ain't what I do. It's who I am. Amen. Amen. This Bible is not what I do. It's who I am. Amen. Amen. We got to recognize who's amongst us. We got to recognize that Jesus Christ comes down and He visits His children. He promised that He would be there where two or three are gathered. Then why should we be surprised when He comes? When He does exactly what He promised He would do. Listen, there was a man that got in desperation. He thought Jesus was going to pass him by. And he's sitting there at a gate, a blind beggar for alms. First thing you know, heard a noise. Jesus is passing by. Who's passing by? Somebody push him down. Who's passing by? Somebody push him down. Please, somebody tell me who's passing by. Oh, it's just that old crazy preacher. Old fogey ideas. He ain't got nothing anyway. His name's Jesus. Jesus! Thou son of David, have mercy on me. His only hope, his only moment was standing right there before him. And he was not going to let it pass him by. If he allowed this moment to go by, he would remain blind the rest of his life. If he allowed him to go by, he would remain lost the rest of his life. If he allowed him to go by, he'd have remained a beggar the rest of his life. If he'd allowed him to go by, he'd have remained a slave the rest of his life. A slave to blindness, born as a blind man, as a beggar, a slave to some devil. But he's seen his moment, and he wasn't going to let it pass him by. Oh, you've heard of that prophet of Galilee, that young prophet called Jesus of Nazareth, no? Well, you know, in the Bible it says our scrolls, the son of David, will be raised up to sit on it. That's him. Is that him? Is that him? He's passing by. Desperation set in. Jesus, have mercy on me. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Oh, Jesus. Some of them, shut up. You make too much noise. You make too much noise. Really? I'm about to have my moment with the King and you're telling me I'm making too much noise? I'm about to have my moment with the man who can change my life forever and you're telling me I'm making too much noise? The problem is you ain't never been where I'm at. If you've been there, you know how it feels. Amen. He was desperate. If he got by, he might never have another opportunity. Think about this. How many years he had sat at Evening Light Tabernacle? Here comes the Son of God with the sin of the world upon his shoulders, going up to Jerusalem to be offered. You think he'd have enough on him? You'd think he would have had enough on his plate. He wouldn't be concerned with one little blind man. You'd think in Laodicea he'd have enough on his plate, trying to get this thing all wrapped up and redemption fulfilled, fullness of redemption and the rapture and everything to happen. You'd think he'd have enough on his plate, that he wouldn't be concerned maybe by coming by your way on a Wednesday night. But he is. And here he comes. And God heard the cry. Out of 1,000 voices. Think about this. Out of all kind of multitudes of people that was around him, he heard a cry. Brother Branham says in another place, he said it stopped heaven.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Amen. A cry of desperation stopped heaven. And heaven turns around. He says, what do you have need of? And this blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He said, go your way. Your faith saves you. What is your request tonight? First off, you got to recognize you're in his presence. That was enough desperation. When desperation is received, is to receive. That's when desperation is to receive something. The faintest little touch, faith grabs it. He didn't say, "Now wait a moment, wait, hold right there, Jesus, hold on. Let me see if I can see you now. Hold on." No, faith grabbed it. I hadn't seen my hand out for many years. Let me see. Jesus said, thy faith has saved thee. That was enough. That's all he wanted. Desperation called for a subject. And when the subject, no matter how faint it is, it's received. It's believed right then because faith catches it when desperation is pushing it. Love in there mixes in and brings it all to pass. But desperation does it. Blind Bartimaeus caught the vision quickly. Oh, hallelujah. Desperation. Many times the blood of the Lamb has been offered service after service. Listen, I don't know if I've ever witnessed things, even as a minister, as you know, you have in your mind the way a service ought to go and the things you're thinking the way it's going to go, and your mind's all geared towards maybe a certain direction of a good shouting service, rejoicing time, you know, and this is kind of what you're thinking. And God, at the last moment, turns it, and here come souls to the altar. Service after service after service after service. And we still got these blinded message believers that hadn't recognized Jesus walking among them. And all I can say is tonight, He brought me to this place. Maybe for one more person to realize, look, I need to be in desperation. There's situations I can't handle. There's things I don't know what to do. Amen. I don't know where to turn to. Turn to Jesus! Desperation will cause a man to put his hands on the head of Jesus Christ and confess his sins and feel the pains and agony of Calvary, what He had to pay to redeem man from sin. And the Holy Spirit out of the blood of Jesus comes cleansing that man, and he leaves that place a different person. This is why I come to the house of God. I want to leave a different person. Every service. Listen, every service, I want to be touched by Him. Every time I push play, I want to be touched by Him. Lord, don't let me get so callous by the things of this world and so caught up in Laodicea that I don't even see Him when He walks by. But God has a people that's cognate, that's looking for His appearing, that knows and senses the moving of the Holy Ghost and can be sensitive to that and realize all this other stuff is garbage. Amen. Listen, we need to get desperate to go out a new creature, and it's once and for all. Go out a different person. Go out with all the sin problems settled forever. Hallelujah. One sacrifice forever. He made His offering, giving His own life, sitting down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And we have a high priest sitting there in the majesty of God, in the presence of the great Creator, making intercession upon our profession. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. People make requests. God, give me a new car. God, give me a new home. God, give me a good job. And they've never made the question right about their own soul. God, I need this over here. I need this situation worked out over here. I need that over there. I need this one saved. I need that one saved. And what about their own self? You know, it's amazing. Sometimes we can see the splinter in the brother's eye, and there's a big old beam sticking in ours. Right? Things that we don't know, we don't want to deal with, and we just lay them under there and just lay them on the side and lay them on the side, and we're carrying all this stuff with us. I was talking to my wife the other day. I said, you know, many times as people, talking about even situations that we have sometimes, you know, as a married couple, if you're not careful, you bring things all the way from back yonder into now instead of letting back yonder fade away and be covered by the blood. I heard a man the other day say, don't let your future be messed up with your past. Man, that's a powerful statement. The devil wants to remind you of everything you ever done. Listen, he has a good memory of that. He'll remind you of everything. He'll remind you of what you've done over here and what you've done over there and what you've tried to forget and this, that, and the other. He'll remind you of all kind of things. And he can't remember one good thing you ever did. But God can. I love how Brother Wayne, just listening to it, Brother John Andy sent me a clip of it again, reminding me of it. Brother Wayne brought out that. He said, look, he said, we got a file that's got every text you ever sent, every thought you ever had, everything you've ever done, every text you sent, every note you wrote, everything. He got it all down. And look, and I was sitting up on the platform, I was looking at these kids, and you start seeing fear come in their eyes. I think some of them really believed him. He's being serious. We got it all. We got a file of everything. Every phone number you ever called, every voice, everything you've ever said is recorded. Well, it is recorded whether you want to. What was that? The angel of the Lord said to the prophet, said, tell the people that their thoughts are louder than heaven and their voices on earth. Every thought, everything against you, we've got. But you know, somebody come in and blank the tape. This is what happens in desperation when you lay your hands on that bloody sacrifice. Listen, we ain't talking about a sacrifice of blood of bulls and goats. That's not what we're under anymore, to where we come in one week and come out the next week and we got the same issues and the same problem. You get desperate with God and you lay your hands upon that sacrifice, God will deal with your problems. Amen. I've seen it time after time after time. I've seen chain smokers in a moment come in a time of desperation. I've got to get rid of these things. Help me. Pray for me. And you lay hands and it's gone. Dope gone. Sin gone. Why? Because people get desperate with God. God, I've got to have you. I cannot leave the same way I came in. Having therefore, what happens when this life change takes place? Now you're no longer a sinner, but a son. One time, Esther was just a little peasant girl. But then she was given a change, a name change. She was no longer Esther, she's now known as Queen Esther. And now she's still in that moment of pondering, what do I do? Where do I go? What's happening? What's going on? And Mordecai is saying, you got to get up and you got to go in. Amen. Amen. This is where we're at. We got to get out of our slothfulness. We got to get out of the things of, and our worries and our fretting and realize who we are. How many in here has had a change in your life? A nature change. And the Holy Ghost has come in. Then you're free to go into the King and ask what you will. He said that's the greatest plague there is in the Christian church today. They are afraid. Boldness to enter into the holiness, holiest by the blood of Jesus. There was a time that it was death to go in. And under the law of bulls and goats, it was a death. You couldn't just get up out of your seat and walk in. So that room was a holy of holies. You couldn't just get up and walk in any time you wanted to. It was a high priest that went in once a year for the and to sprinkle the blood for the purging of the saints. It was death for the common person, for anybody to go in. But now it's death not to go in. Now this chasm has been done away with that was between man and God. And by the blood of the Lamb and the blood, it bridged the chasm to where you can cross over into the presence of God. And God can change your life forever. He says here, he said, there's no reason, he's talking to Branham Tabernacle. He said, there's no reason at all why this little place here can't be a beehive of the power of God. buzzing with the glory of God flying from everywhere. This old hole in the wall here, almost known throughout the entire world, this little spot you're sitting in tonight, not because of William Branham, but because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, a gospel that they have contended for. No, sir, I had nothing to do with it. No, not at all. It was Him who did it. That made the place known through the world as nothing but a little $1,500 structure or something like that fixed up. No floor in it, but it was God Almighty that does these things. And now we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Why? Because we're a son. We're a daughter of the King. Now, some of you may not remember this. But there used to be a sign on that door over there that said, "To see Brother Tim, please see the librarians. To schedule an appointment, please don't disturb him." I wasn't a song leader at that time. I wasn't a deacon. Wasn't a preacher. But you know what I was? A son. I never went to a librarian to schedule an appointment. My sisters never went and knocked on the door of the library. "Annie, I need to see Brother Tim. You might think he'd mind if I come in." No, that ain't what we did. We were sons and daughters of a man. Brother Tim's wife didn't go, Sister Karen, she didn't go and say, "Annie, you really think Brother Tim would mind if I come in right now? I'm a little nervous about this. I don't know what to do. I need to see him. I have a need. There's a situation. I don't know." She didn't worry about none of that. She was his wife. And now we, as the sons and daughters of the King, we have the right to go before the Father. If you have a need, you have a right to present it to Him. And go boldly as a son. And knowing the sin question is settled, it's over with, it's finished. There's no questions any longer. It's by a new and living way. The old dead way, the old order of law is over with. Now we enter in by grace through the Holy Spirit. Under law is touch not, handle not, taste not, eat not, no meat, keep Sabbath, new moons, all forms of worship what man did. But this is a new and living way. It's nothing that we can do. It's what He's already done for us by grace. We just accept it and Christ takes away our sin. We believe it. We hear the gospel and we do what it says and we accept what it says and we turn and we walk into the throne of God. John 15 verse 1 says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean to the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches, and he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather him and cast him into the fire, and they're burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." How do I abide? By the life. Is it I got to read my Bible so many times? Is it I got to get up such a time to pray? No, it's a life. Amen. This is what He is saying. I am the vine, you're the branches. The only way you can be connected to me is by life. And my life must flow through you. And when it flows through you, you can ask what you will and it shall be given unto you. Luke 11 verse 5, He said unto them, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go into him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is his journey has come to me and have nothing set before him.' And he from within shall answer and say, 'Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Any of you fathers out there, will you give him a stone? If you ask a fish, will you give him for a fish? Give, but it's not a fish, but a serpent? If ye then, being evil, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, being evil, knowing how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Listen, it ain't God up there saying, well, you ain't done enough good this week. You hadn't earned it yet. Go earn some stripes and I'll come back with your stars from Sunday school and I'll see what I can give you. That ain't God. God's rich in mercy. Listen, just in giving chances, I see him many times. He gave chance after chance after chance, time after time after time. Listen, I'm preaching this desperation because I was in the same place. And I saw him go by, and I saw him go by, and I saw him go by. But one day, my heart cried out, Jesus, have mercy on me. Matthew 21 and verse 21 says, Jesus answered them and said unto them, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, somebody say all things. Amen. Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. All things. John 14, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because they go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask it, say it, anything, in my name, I will do it. I will do it. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4 and verse 14 says, seeing them, that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched. In other words, we have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was with all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because he knows exactly what it feels like to have eye trouble. He knows exactly. Brother Bradley talked about him, I believe it was, him sitting on a stone somewhere holding his head with a headache. He knows exactly what back pain feels like. 40-something stripes or 40 stripes, that's a lot of back pain. He knows exactly what it's like, Brother Jerry, to be on a cross and struggle for breath. He knows exactly how you feel. And we have a high priest who can be touched. If there's someone willing to reach out and touch Jesus as he passes by, you can touch him and be made completely whole. James 1 and verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Wanting nothing. That don't mean you'll have everything, but you'll want nothing. Because you'll realize a lot of that stuff, that these commercial things are, and people are out there trying to sell and push down your throat, it's worth nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. I'm a son. I've been given your spirit, thereby adopted as a son, placed in the body of Jesus Christ, and I'm standing here asking. And I'm not going away. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. In one day, out the next. Church sometimes, out for four services. Back and forth. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But the Holy Ghost deals with that. It'll put you on one way, the straight and narrow. With your mind made up. If nobody else goes, I'm going. If mama don't go, it ain't going to hinder me. If daddy don't go, it ain't going to hinder me. I'm going to be there. Because if you're in this condition, he said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. 1 John 3 verse 19 says, hereby we know that we are of the truth. How many knows you're of the truth tonight? And shall assure our hearts before him. For if, listen to this, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. We have a blood that's greater than any sin. We have a God that's greater than any condemnation. Hallelujah. And knoweth all things, beloved, if our heart condemneth not, then we have confidence toward God that whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. What is it? He is in the life. He is plugged into the life. The Holy Spirit is now living on the inside of him by the Spirit which he hath given us. 1 John 5 and verse 14 said, this is the confidence that we have in him. Listen, you may not have confidence in a lot of things. You may not have confidence in your neighbors or wherever. I mean, the president, governments, this world. There ain't nothing to put your confidence here. Man will fail you. You know, you speak to people who shipwrecked along the way and they say, well, I had such confidence in this brother and he failed me. You had your confidence in the wrong place. We don't have confidence in man. We have confidence in God. We have confidence that we have, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask, say it again, anything, according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Brother Branham says it like this. He said, we need to walk right up freely with a lot of boldness. We come boldly to the throne of God, for our God is faithful. He is faithful who has promised it. He said, don't be scared. Reach up and get it. It's yours. He led you right to the fountain. Now, if you're thirsty, drink. And drink abundance. Don't just drink until you just get a little bit on you. But you drink till you can't drink no more. You drink till you get so drunk on the salvation of God. You'll not listen to the naysayers. You'll not listen to the critics. You'll not listen to your feelings or any other symptoms. You'll only look to Calvary. Amen. And what he done for you. He said St. Agnabas was dying. They come brought him to the cross. They was going to kill him on, and he run to them and he embraced his cross and kissed it. And they that were going to tar, they that was going to tar and feather him, he said, O cross of Christ, I'm only sorry that I only have one life to give to thee. just sorry that I only have one life I can give. They said, aren't you afraid? He said, afraid? He said, they strapped his hands to the cross, they drenched him in tar and throwed feathers on him, put a barrel pitch at the bottom and rode by him in a chariot and throwed a torch into the tar and it lit it aflame. It went up around him. And after the people made their rejoicing and passing their stones one another, they'd get rid of this past, the preacher of righteousness. What happened? The fire burnt down and the saint was hanging on the cross, praising and blessing God. God had prepared a way of escape for him right in the midst of his fire. He had prepared a way. He came boldly. He came bravely. He said, that's the way we've got to come to God's promises. We've got to come boldly to accept Him. We don't come shattering and say, maybe I will, maybe I won't, maybe next Sunday, maybe it'll be next week. No, we come boldly with assurance in our heart that God through Christ has paved the way for me and I've come to accept it in Jesus' name. Let's turn to Hebrews 10 and verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which he offered year by year continually make the corners thereunto perfect. For them would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have no more consciences of sin. But in those sacrifices, what sacrifices? The sacrifices of bulls and goats. There's a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh to the world, he saith, sacrifice and an offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come to the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifices and offering, and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein where offered by the law. And he said, by which will we? Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He's taken away the blood of bulls and goats, and he is establishing a new sacrifice. By which will we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Through the blood of bulls and goats, it was a bull or a goat or an offering for every person. But through this offering, it was one body for all forever. What power lays in this blood? What power lays in the blood of Jesus Christ? What sin cannot be washed away by this flow of blood? What iniquity can be taken away and rolled away into the deep red sea and be forgotten forever? There is no, not one. No, not one. He says, by which we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever, forever, them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he hath said before, this is the covenant that I'll make them for these days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws in their heart, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Hallelujah! I'm so thankful we serve a God who has an ability to forget your sins. Hallelujah. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. After the sin question has been answered, after it's been done away with, and the sins have been transferred onto the sacrifice, and the life of the sacrifice can now be transferred onto you. This used to couldn't happen. And the blood of bulls and goats, it would come and offer a lamb. And that blood could, yes, it could come on them and it would cover them. But it could not take away the desire. But then here come this worthy lamb. Then when he died, now not only could the blood cover you, but you could come become the blood. And you could walk away with no more desire for that sin. Then you could come boldly. Then you have a right. Then you can enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, let's say, the flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. Let us draw near to him tonight. You've been asked to go before the king. It's time you put your royal robe on and you stand up and you go before the king to take what's your inheritance. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We're redeemed by the blood of God, not the blood of a woolly lamb. And that blood cell now gives us blood that was broken over our body, now gives us boldness to stand on his word. It gives us boldness to walk in the face of demons and oppositions, because we know we're coming covered with the blood of the Lord Jesus, which is divine powers in the blood of God. I mean, as a Christian, filled with the Holy Ghost, you have right to any redemptive blessing that Jesus died for. It's all yours. It's already been paid for. You just have to believe it. Now imagine that. Believe, not just imagine it. Believe it. Know that it's yours. Know that you can possess it. That's the conquering faith. No, it's mine. He knew it had happened before. And here he is. Here God's bringing it to pass. Here he's brought it to pass. He knew his words. Here he was. Let me go back. Here he was on the day walking here. He could predict things before it ever happened because he knew it would happen. He would say, you take this body and you tear it down and I'll raise it up in 3 days. What was he doing? He was speaking the word that God spoke about him, and he was having confidence in God's word. This is what he was doing. He was finding himself in the place in the scriptures, and he was taking the scriptures that pertained to him and he was applying it to his life. And he was telling them, this is why? Because the Holy Spirit came down on the day of there, he was baptized and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell in and in abode with him. Hallelujah. I love how our pastor brought it out some time ago. He said, here was the first man that the Spirit of God came out of heaven and came into and stayed there. Hallelujah. David, it came down upon him. He would write beautiful songs. He would be so inspired. And then he would go out and commit adultery. What happened? The Spirit would go right back up. But here come a man that God was pleased to dwell in. And it abode with him. And he had the right to use the Father's words. He had the right to use the scriptures that spoke about him. He had the right to tell that devil to leave. He had the right to go there and say, you leave there, you leave there. He didn't have to get all worked up about it and all this stuff. He wasn't worried. He was only doing what God's word spoke of him to do. Amen. Well, if that's the truth there, now on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God come down and in an abode in 120 on the upper room. And in this day, it's come back again to man to abide there. There's men here, that there's women here, that the Spirit of God is not just here. There's some maybe that it comes down and it lifts up, and it comes down and lifts up. It's because they haven't had a true born again experience. But once that happens, the Holy Spirit comes in and it abides forever. And then they have boldness to use the Father's word. They have boldness to go into his throne. Why? They are a son and a daughter, his wife. This is why you can say to the mountain, be moved, and don't doubt, and it shall be done as you said so. We see here, let me close with this. He said, all that Christ died for is yours. You can never exhaust God's love and mercy to you. You say, well, Father, I hate to bother you. He wants to be bothered. Did you hear me? He wants to be bothered. And don't ever think that you could ever ask too much of God. You say, well, I believe the Scripture said you have. I believe the Scripture says you have not because you ask not. You ask not because you believe not. He wants us to ask and believes that our joys would be full. Listen to Him as He brings us down. He wants you to ask abundantly. Ask for big things. Esther asked for a big thing. It wasn't a little thing that Esther asked for. Esther asked for a big thing. The safety of her people. Captive slaves. She asked for a big thing. God wants you to ask for big things. Don't limit your faith to some little mustard seed. Well, if I only had the faith the grain of a mustard seed, and many times we use that scripture to a fault. Just a little faith. That's all I... He said, don't limit your faith to a grain of mustard seed. Get on out there to some other kind of faith and move out into the big things. Big things is just as easy to receive as little things. God, let that faith fall into our hearts right now. You just have to believe. That's all. You've got faith. Just exactly how to use it, it'll be all right. You can put it to work. It'll just be fine. I said, could you imagine talking about exhausting God's power? How many believes you can exhaust the power of God? It's been going on now for 6,000 years. We only count the creation, what power was displayed there. I mean, many, many years. And it still ain't exhausted. And we're worried now that He ain't got enough power to move in our situations. When He spoke to some nothing and said, let there be, and it was. And He said, let there be a sun. And that sun is still in its position where He said it would be. And is still being held up by His Word. There's stars. I live in the country. You can see the stars. Some of you in the city, maybe you don't see them very much. I don't know. But in the country, you can see them. I walk out many times like, my Lord, look at all these stars. And I just gaze up and my mind begins to wonder. Begins to go into the greatness of God and His beauty and how He must have thought this all out to place them in certain positions and certain places. And not one of them has moved since He said, let there be. And we're worried. We're concerned. And we're all tore up tonight because we don't know what to do about a situation. When His Word is still holding up the sun. His Word is still holding this earth in this place. When man is doing everything it can to destroy, this world is turning just right along to a certain place. Yeah, there's a time coming. But His Word is holding it there, and we're worried because we don't know what to do about something. He said, could you imagine trying to exhaust God's love and God's power? Could you imagine trying to exhaust the benefits God has for you? He said, could you imagine a little bitty fish, maybe about that long? I'll just use my imagination, maybe about that long. Way out there in the middle of the ocean, said, now wait a minute. I better think about this. I better drink real sparingly of this water because one day I'm going to run out. That's kind of ridiculous. He said, that could be more easily done than you ask too much of God. Amen. He's the inexhaustible fountain of life. Whatever you have need of, ask Him and believe it. He provided it in a redemptive blessing when He died at Calvary, and He gave a promise to you for everything you have need of while you're in your journey. It's yours if you'll ask and believe. Could you imagine a little old mouse? And there's some of us in here that's deathly afraid of those little old mice. I mean, really? This little old mouse sends girls into screaming and fits and hollering. It's just a little old mouse. This little old mouse running around in the garners of Egypt, in them wheat garners, looking around like, I better eat real. I better eat real light. Wow, this is, I don't know if I have enough to make it. I better go easy. Could you imagine? He said, that's the way people act as Christians. You get up in the morning. God, bless my family today and keep us close to you. Amen. Well, I've done my religion today. I just like to lay down. He said, but I just like to lay down and drink it all in. He said, I don't want just a little bit. I want all of it. He said, don't you? And he said, I love to just drink it in and have just a real spiritual gastronomical jubilee. Just drink in till you can't drink no more. He said, you all are full. You said, he's talking to people in California. You said, you raise oranges. Did you know that little orange tree, when it's just about a half inch high, every bushel of oranges you ever pick off of it is in that tree right then? Did you know that? If it didn't, where'd it come from? He said, who put the oranges on it? Who gave the ability to bear the oranges? Who tells the sap to go up and the sap to come down? It don't have no mental capabilities. There's a law of nature that God placed there. He said, all it does, it just begins to push out leaves and it begins to push out branches. It begins to do this. Why? Because it's drinking in. It's drinking in of the nutrition of the earth and the wells that's underneath of the springs of water. And from this drinking in, it's pushing out. And it's pushing out until it gets a little further out. And it gets a little bigger. Until now we have oak trees that's just gigantic. You wonder at them sometimes. You look at the marvelous of God. And every acorn was in it right when it was that tall. But it just kept pushing out. It kept pushing out. He said, when a believer is placed in Christ Jesus, you're planted. You're planted in the inexhaustible fountain of life. And the more you drink, the more you will push out. That's right. Well, I believe that Jesus saves me. That's good. Then how about the Holy Ghost? Keep drinking. Believe, He give you the Holy Ghost. He promised it to you. Well, what about divine healing? Keep drinking. Believe it. He promised it to you. Every redemptive blessing belongs to you. Just drink. And drink and push out. Everything you have need of is right there in you. Amen. When you receive His life. When you receive the Holy Ghost, everything you have need of between here and glory is right in you then. Amen. Hallelujah. It ain't faith that you need. You've got faith. If you've got the Holy Spirit, He is your faith. The only thing you have to know how to use that faith. See what I mean? If you just understand how to use it, which we'll try to this coming week to explain it, use that faith. Don't ever be afraid to speak big things. Amen. Ask big things. God wants you to ask big things. He don't want you to be just a little petty and juvenile. He wants you to ask big things that your joy may be full. Let's bow. He says, but today we're living in a terrific day. But all that you have need of is already supplied to you when you believe. So many people, I find when they join a church, he said, especially here in America, they just become drifters. Well, praise God, I met Brother Branham, I got saved, I put my name on the book, that's all I've done. Just drifting. He said, we don't want to do that. You never got saved to be a member of a church. You got saved to work. You don't dress up in the army just to lay around, sign up in the army just to lay around and corner and flirt with the girls and put pretty uniforms on. We train our army to fight. We're not at a picnic. We're on battlegrounds. We're right here facing the enemy of our Lord Jesus and the enemy of our souls. Let us be up and doing with a heart for God. Be not like dumb driven cattle. Have to drive you into a little corral somewhere over this way, drive you here, drive you there. He said, let's be a hero. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime with partings leave behind us, footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another was sailing older life's solemn main for a forlorn and shipwrecked brother in seeing our footprints shall take heart again. Let's do something. We're written epistles. This is a word of a prophet. Don't be drifters. Recognize who you are. You say, well, I don't know. Maybe you're like Esther. I don't know. I don't know about going in there. It'll be death. It's death not to go in. It's death not to go in. You know, Esther had it made. She was in the palace, kicked back, maids to take care of her, good meals, no worries, she thought. But death was right at the door. Maybe you've been drifting. Wanted to get to that a little more, but it just felt to end it like that. Maybe you've just been drifting. Well, now I'm going to be honest before God and lift your hand and say, Lord, I've been a drifter. I hadn't been standing on your promises. I want to stand there, Lord. Been doing things, Lord, that's unseemly. Things in my life, God, I got to anchor down. Got some loose cannons there that's got to be tied up. There's a storm coming. Will you be honest? Is there desperation to say, God, that's me. Make me right, oh God. Not worried about my neighbor. Not worried about the person next to me right now. It's me and you, Jesus. You're walking by my pew. You're walking by my way, Lord. I want to be honest. Lord Jesus, see these hearts here tonight, Father. Once again, Lord, we plan to go certain ways and you just kind of turn right at the last moments. Your cry coming out. Father, we ask, God, that you move in a supernatural way. Lord, there may be some blind Bartimaeus just sitting here, Lord, that has their opportunity with the King. May they recognize it tonight, I pray. Lord Jesus, may you move on the hearts. You see the hands that were lifted all over this building. Lord, people saying that they're drifting, just kind of drifting along. Fire of God is burned down. Come a little lukewarm in their experience. Lord, maybe some of them need to take that step with you. Father God, may you just move, I pray. Draw us into your presence, Lord. You know my heart, Lord. I didn't mean to say anything, Father, that would not be pleasing to you. God, may you just move and have your way. This is your words. These are your people. Granted, Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name. Oh, draw me, Lord.
Draw me, Lord, and I'll love.
Yes, I will go, and you have called me. I will answer, lead me, Lord. Yes, lead me, Lord. And wherever you lead, Lord, just lead me, Lord. And
come together and worship you, Father, to put a thing this side, put away the things of the world, Father, and Lord, hear from you, Father, from the throne of God tonight. Lord, we pray that you'll be with each one of us as we leave this place. Lord, that your presence will not leave us. Lord, and that we will not leave your presence, Father. But Lord, that you'll just so indwell each one. Lord, that as we return again, Father, if it be your will, Lord, that you would just return with us. Lord, that you would just live and dwell inside of us, Father, more and more each day. Lord, help us to put away the things of the world, Father. Lord, thank you for the word you've given us tonight. Be with us, we ask, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Just remember to sign the work list for the work day this coming Saturday.